I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're going to talk about being married and your finances. Or maybe you're about to get married and you maybe haven't had that money talk with your significant other. Joining me today is CPA Jennifer Greco. She is the senior manager for Cooper Williams. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, I recently got engaged, so apparently I'm going to have to start combining my money with somebody else. And not having done that ever in my life, I'm a little nervous. What should I be doing to get ready for marriage financially?
I think the biggest thing is the communication. I think I've seen a lot of clients where the biggest issue has been that the spouse's expectations are different than their own. So just laying it all out, who's going to pay which bills? Are we going to have a joint account? Are we going to keep separate accounts? Which, a lot of people do choose to keep separate accounts and maybe split things certain ways. Other people will say, no, we'll put it all in one account. And there's no wrong answer. It's what's best for you and what works for you in your relationship. So just having that conversation and knowing, okay, when these types of expenses come up, how do we expect to see those being paid? If your goal is savings, where your spouse's goal is buying the big TV and having a swimming pool in the backyard, that's something that you need to have that conversation. How much debt are we willing to get into? How much are we willing to pay for a house together? How are we splitting those things? So having that plan in place, just knowing up front what the expectations are, helps a lot in keeping problems from happening down the road.
All right. So in my family growing up, we did not discuss money. I mean, that just wasn't done. I mean, maybe my parents did in their private time, but not in front of the kids. How do I do that? You know, if you love your partner, then that love conquers all, right?
Right. And so you start fighting about money, right? So you don't want that to happen. And that's the whole point is, if everybody's on the same page, I mean, you sit down. And for me and my husband, we sit down once a month with, here's our budget. This is what we have coming in. This is what we have going out. This is the extra money. Where should we spend the extra money? Do we want to put some in savings? Do we want to update the kitchen? Do we want, what are our goals for that money? And we work on those things together. Because the last thing you want is, I put my money in the account, you put your money in the account, and we paid our bills and there was $500 left, and then tomorrow your husband comes home with, look what I bought. I bought myself a new whatever toy for $450. But we have $500, so I could spend it, right? And, that's going to cause a problem when one person is expecting that $500 to stay in the bank and the other person says, oh, it's extra money. I'll just go spend it. So, you have to have those conversations. You have to have a budget and work it out. Even if it's write it down on paper, these are our bills. This is what the expectation is. When your paycheck comes, you pay these five. When my paycheck comes, you pay these five. And, you just have to work through that. And it's work. You have to work with your spouse and really have those conversations. And it is a little awkward if you've never done it before. It's like you're saying your parents have never done it in front of you. I'm sure they did it behind closed doors. But you just have to say, okay, we're going to set aside this 30 minutes and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about our finances.
Well, I do like the way you phrased it, working out our goals, because that seems a little less intimidating than just going, what do you plan to spend your money on? And don't do it the way I don't want to. But if you sit down with your spouse and you say, hey, what are your financial goals with any extra money we have? And I can tell you what my goals are with any extra money we have. That seems a little less threatening or confrontational about the money.
Right. And another piece to that is you need to include in your budget whatever the amount might be. Here's your spending cash, here's my spending cash. And I don't have to answer to you for how I spent my $50. And you don't have to answer to me for how you spent your $50. Everybody needs that, at least that, you know, and if your budget only allows for $20 each a month, then that's what you do. But, you know, everybody needs a little pocket cash that you, you know, I mean, if you're at the store and you're buying yourself a soda, you're not feeling guilty because you bought a soda because you were thirsty. You know, you have to have some money that you have control over, if that makes sense. So the big budget, yes, you want to have everybody on the same page, and then you do want to say, okay, here's your money to spend, here's my money to spend.
What if I sit down with my significant other and I discover that they are not a saver at all? They've never done it their entire lives. Maybe they aren't necessarily in debt, but they pretty much think, hey, I have a paycheck and I get this much money every single month and I pay all my bills and then I just blow anything else that's left over. Whereas I am the complete opposite. I don't even buy the soda for myself because I want every penny to go into my retirement. What if I find that out when I sit down with my spouse?
Yeah, so that's where you have to set those goals and the expectations. And so if the goal is, you know, I want to save and you want to spend, then you have to come to some compromise. Again, that's where your love conquers all comes in. You work that compromise out and you say, okay, you know what? I can live with wasting 25% of it if we can put, you know, 50% in savings or 75% in savings or 25% in my 401k and 50% in a savings account, and you can have your 25% to spend or 50% to spend, whatever that comes to, you know, where you land, but you guys have to agree on those things. And that's why it's better to do that up front and not 3 months after you're married and find out, oh, wait, what do you mean you spend everything?
Right.
I save everything. So, you know, having those conversations in preparation for marriage is important.
What if you find out that they really are seriously in debt, not just a student loan, but seriously, they have no impulse control and they buy the big TV and they buy the big shiny boat and they buy whatever they see that they want at the moment and they put everything on a credit card and now they're seriously in debt. What if you find that out?
Yeah, again, that's where you have to communicate what the expectations are. You know, what are we going to do about this debt? Am I willing to take on some of that? Because when you get married, I mean, every place is different. Utah's not a community property state, but there are quite a few states in our country that are community property. And the day you get married, 50% of his debt and 50% of everything he owns belongs to you and vice versa. So, I mean, if you look at marriage that way, you have to also look at, if I'm marrying this person, I'm taking on this debt. And if you're taking on that debt, are you willing to take on that debt? And that's where you sit down with that person and say, look, you're in this position, and I don't like being in that position, and I want to set a goal on how we're going to get that debt paid off as fast as possible. And let's set that goal and work toward that as we're working on getting married. And see, make sure you, I would never tell somebody that because your future spouse is in debt, you should call your wedding off. But you
I would.
But you'd have to realistically go into it knowing that you're going into it with that debt as part of that marriage. And so you'd have to know, you know, am I willing to live with that or am I not? And if you are, then work towards, you know, training them into getting a budget and finding a way to pay that all off.
Okay. No debt. I have been debt-free for 12 years and have no intention of ever being in debt, even for $10, ever. And so to find out a significant other is in that, I seriously think I would walk away.
Yeah, and that would be your personal choice. And that's some, you know, again, back to love conquers all, right? Well, in your case, love obviously doesn't come for debt. So you would have to make that choice. But based on, you know, again, back to you, I mean, it is a huge thing. Marriage is an adjustment, not just financially, but overall, you're living with a person that you didn't live with before. You're dealing with new habits. Maybe he's not as neat as you are in the kitchen and doesn't clean up after himself and you find crumbs. There's a lot of things that you have to adjust to with marriage. And the more that you can plan ahead for that, the better off your marriage will be. So especially on the big things like your finances, you want to really have a good plan in place.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll still be joined by Jennifer Greco, Senior Manager at Cooper Williams. But I want to go into, all right, I got past all of the pre-wedding stuff, and now we're married. Now what do we do? So we'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. And today we're talking about your money and you're married, or you're just about to get married. Joining me today is Jennifer Greco. She is a CPA and senior manager at Cooper Williams. So welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So in that last segment, we discussed before you get married, you have to sit down with your significant other and talk about your goals for the money, because you may just find out that that person has completely opposite goals as you. Let's say we've done that. We are kind of on the same page, hopefully, or we've come to some sort of a compromise. We had the wedding, and now 6-7 months has passed, and we have to file our taxes for that year. And I'm filling out the form, and it says, married but filed jointly, or married but filing separately. Whoa, like what is that? Does that mean married but filing separately? We became separated after 6 months of marriage?
Usually that is the case.
Oh, really?
Married filing separately, no. The differences are people file separately for very, most of the time, non-tax related reasons. If, for example, you get married and you find out that the person you married, and you didn't have that talk beforehand like we talked about, and 3 months into being married to this person, you find out that they didn't file their own returns for the last 6 years. And now you're married to them and you're filing a return with them. Well, you don't want to be on the hook for the 6 years that they didn't file previously. So filing a separate return keeps his and hers separately. So the tax liability is separate. The minute you file a joint return, you owe it and he owns it, and it's a joint. So say you file a joint return and you owe $600. You can't say, well, I paid $300. He's responsible for the other $300. No, you're on the hook for the whole $600, and he is also. So the minute that you file a joint return, you're saying, I agree to 100% of both debts.
What if I filed jointly the first year? And it was actually after we did that first one, and then all these other tax issues come up. So the second year we're married, can I go back to filing married but separate?
Yes, you can. And so if you know for one reason or another your spouse owes money, so the other issue is if he owes like 6 years of back taxes and you guys file a joint return and you're getting a refund, they'll take that refund and apply it to his back taxes. So you don't get that refund. So there's another reason. So another reason people file separate returns is when there's like a prenuptial agreement in place. where, like, a lot of times people think of prenups as, oh, super rich people who own a lot of stuff, and they, you know, they want to make sure if they get divorced, they're not going to lose all their stuff to their spouse. But there's also prenuptial agreements in place a lot of times because somebody owns their own business, and the business debts may go with that person, and the spouse doesn't want to be, you know, responsible for anything related to that business. So those are kinds of reasons to file a separate return. Tax-wise, you're almost always better off filing a joint return, because with married filing separately, they phase out a lot of the exemptions and deductions that you get, where if you file a joint return, you don't have that phase-out issue, unless your income is way high, like way over $450,000-ish. Then you'll start to phase out, but you've $75,000 on a separate, a married filing separate return. And in some cases, the deduction is completely just wiped off if you're filing a separate return. So, you know, almost always your tax liability is going to be better if you file a joint return.
Oh, okay.
Really, the only time to ever file a separate return is if you have one of those non-tax situations that require it.
What type of credits or debits that are go with married filing jointly?
You get an exemption for each of your children. Right now, the exemptions are a lot different because of that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which only is in effect until 2025, and then it goes back. Now you get $2,000 per child under 17, but those phase outs come down faster if you're filing a separate return than a joint. AMT, which is the alternative minimum tax, which is basically the law that says, well, if you do your tax on the traditional method, you're not paying enough, so we're going to give you an alternative minimum tax so you can pay a little extra. Those phase outs come in a lot faster on a separate return, so you end up paying alternative minimum tax where you may not on a married filing joint return.
If there are no business type issues, there isn't the prenup, one of the partners isn't way in debt, or it would actually be better for us to file married jointly.
Yes.
Okay, that helps to answer that. Is there anything else that we need to know about being married, or maybe even getting married, and our taxes and our money?
I think just, again, back to communicating and making sure everyone's on the same page, making sure everyone's filing returns, because that's a big thing, and making sure that you're both in agreement on if you want to, because, again, with filing separately, both spouses have to file separately. You can't opt one, you know, one can't opt to say, I'm going to file a joint return if the other one is filing a separate return. And then when you file separate returns, you know, who gets which deductions and that kind of thing. So you have to have those conversations. That would be my biggest thing, is make sure everybody's on the same page, everybody's talking about it, and file joint if you possibly can. It always is better.
Great. Well, Jennifer Greco, you are CPA and Senior Manager at Cooper Williams. So if anyone has problems being married and with their spouse, at least tax-wise, we're going to come to you.
Thanks
for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.